Welcome back. You are listening to Nate the Hate on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Be sure to like the video and subscribe to the channel if you have not already. And with that, I'd like to welcome in my co-host, Modern Vintage Gamer.
What's going on, Nate? It's great to be here. And what are we talking about today? We've got some interesting things going on.
We do. We are on the precipice of a potentially major release, despite some prior reports suggesting that it was made by the C team and that it was not a major seller. That's right. We're going to talk about Super Mario Wonder as it comes out in just about a week's time, and it is poised to be one of the Nintendo Switch's premier holiday games for 2023. And I thought it was a good time for us to reflect and look at some of the historic trends of the 2D Mario genre and the entries to that genre that have spanned all the way back to the original NES, and see how the games performed for their respective platforms, both in terms of reviews, but also in terms of overall sales and the timing in which these games came out on their platform, and how that may have negatively or positively influenced the sales of each entry. So I thought it was a good time to go back, look at history, to potentially predict the future that Mario Wonder is going to have, not only on the Switch, but also for the gaming community and how we may potentially respond to the game when it does launch in just over a week. I think we're going to start the conversation here with the launch timing of each game dating back to the original Super Mario Brothers game, as that was one of the biggest launch games in gaming history back in 1985. And this game really set the tone for the gaming industry back in the mid-80s. The gaming industry had just suffered from a crash, and it was looking for a savior, if you will. And here comes this little Italian plumber from the Bronx to save video gaming. And this was probably the most iconic launch game potentially of all time. Maybe not if you want to include the modern era going to the Wii with the Wii Sports, but prior to that, and maybe Tetris on the Game Boy, but Super Mario Brothers 1 really revolutionized gaming and was a major launch game going back to the original Nintendo.
I mean, I think for many of us, myself included, I grew up with Super Mario Brothers, and I remember back in the day when it came out, it was just pandemonium is the best way I can describe it. I mean, the amount of marketing that was going on, Mario was everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere at the time. And if you didn't have an NES, you know, as a kid, you put one on your Christmas list or on your birthday wish list because you wanted an NES and a copy of Mario Brothers, just like everyone else. So I'm actually surprised a little bit that it sold as much as it did. I know it was a big seller, but man, I didn't realize the impact of Super Mario Brothers until we started kind of revisiting this. And with that, I have a question for you. Did you grow up with Super Mario Brothers as well, or did you kind of get into gaming later on? Because I know different people have their own stories about this stuff.
I got into it a little later on because, you know, I was born after Mario Brothers had launched on the NES. So by the time I was really aware that I was playing a video game, it wouldn't have been until the, you know, early 90s is when I would say it became a hobby of interest.
Yeah.
Potentially even more so with the N64, maybe even late N64 generation, closer to the timing of Perfect Dark, is where it would have become that hobby of active interest instead of being passive. So while I did play, you know, Super NES games and such, it was never that priority to me. I was always busy with sports, school, and other things. So the NES wasn't something I grew up with, but I did play the original Mario game, though not on a native NES. I ended up first playing it on the Super NES via Super Mario All-Stars, which is a radically enhanced version of the game.
Fantastic.
Kind of the original HD remaster of sorts.
It is. It absolutely is.
So when we look through the history of the years of launch for these 2D Mario games, there is a common trend, and it's that a lot of them were time to launch brand new hardware. Mm-hmm. So as we said with Super Mario Brothers 1, that launched the NES. This was then repeated in 1990 when Super Mario World launched the Super Nintendo.
Yep. Which, and I want to say, that is when I really started getting into Mario. I mean, I was into Mario before the Mario World and the SNES, but the SNES was my system. You know what I mean? That was when I really started getting into video games. So for me, I was right there when that game launched. And it was, again, just like Super Mario Brothers 1, not as big, but it was still a huge moment, no doubt.
And when you look at the release of the prior two Mario games that preceded Mario World, which was Super Mario Brothers 2 and 3, they each came out in 1988. Mm-hmm. And as we know, the US version for Super Mario 2 was really Doki Doki from Japan. It's not a Mario game in the traditional sense, even though it was released as a Mario game here. And if we want to treat it as a mainline Mario game, when you look at the difference of game type and just the evolution of gameplay from the original Mario game to 2 to 3 all the way to Super Mario World, you saw huge progress in a span of just 5 years, because all three games had their own identity. They were all individual experiences that built off what the prior one had done. And it's really astonishing what they were able to achieve in that span of 5 years, where even if we remove the Doki Doki Mario game from it, and you just include Mario Brothers 1, 3, and World, the games were really redefining gaming as we knew it with each entry. And the gap from 1988 with 3 to World in 1990, not just from a visual level due to the more powerful hardware, mm-hmm. but even from a gameplay perspective, it's a huge leap that, I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say that we don't really see in gaming today.
No, definitely not. I mean, you absolutely nailed it with your, you know, analysis there. This was some of the best. I mean, we're talking about some of the best video games that were ever made, and some of the, you know, the most brilliant developers making those games at the time as well. And I think what really just set everything off was, you know, you had the three Mario Brothers games on the NES. Obviously, all three of them are excellent. Now, number three is, you know, considered one of the very best games ever made. And then you've got the Super Mario World, which just took the new hardware and basically, you know, took all the limitations of the first couple of games and said, well, we can do all these really cool new effects and everything. We can add Mode 7, you know, into the mechanics as well. And it was just an absolute masterpiece of a game. And look, it was just that perfect time where everything was just working, aligning in the right ways for you know, Nintendo and their development teams with these games. But the innovation and just the love and the care and attention that have been put into these games is just, you know, it's absolutely unheard of. So I'm not really that surprised, you know, during that time frame, because there were so many good games coming out. And it wasn't just Super Mario or Mario Brothers, but it was just a very, very interesting and very creative time in the industry for a lot of, you know, developers to make some really, really good games, especially when the SNES came around in 1990.
Now, when I look at the timing of a lot of these games and how closely a lot of the releases of these 2D Mario games were to the launch of new hardware, what is curious is that when you now go to the Switch, we're getting a 2D Mario game in the latter half of the Switch generation, if not the twilight. Potential very end of it.
The twilight, right? I mean, we can say yes. That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the twilight. And there's only one other 2D Mario game that comes close to this window, and it's Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, mm-hmm. which is one of the best 2D Mario games. And I know there's a lot of debate out there whether or not it is a Mario game or a Yoshi game. but it is a mainline Mario game. Nintendo has decreed it so, and I'm not going to argue with Nintendo's classification of the game.
Plus, it has Super Mario World 2 in the title. Super Mario World 2. I'm with you. It's a Mario game.
Yeah, aside from that one, everything else had released, if not at launch, within the launch window, which, you know, let's say that first year, maybe 2 years. When it came to New Super Mario Brothers Wii, it came out 3 years after the Wii had launched. And, you know, there's a lot of 2D Mario games. There's New Super Mario Brothers 1 on the DS. Then we had New Super Mario Brothers 2 on the 3DS. We had New Super Mario Brothers Wii U, which launched the system. And that was eventually ported over to the Switch in 2019. But Wonder is definitely that outlier, similar to Yoshi's Island. It's coming at the latter half of a system, and maybe, just like Yoshi Island before it, it could be regarded as that defining, if not elite, 2D Mario game that will be loved for the ages. So when we look at the launch timing of these games, while the story would exist solely on the idea of, yeah, Nintendo used to launch their hardware with 2D games, and that gradually moved away as Nintendo put 2D Mario to a rest during the N64 and the GameCube generation, maybe now it began to slowly revitalize itself during the Wii generation when they hit that nostalgia kick and they used the DS and the Wii in tandem to bring it back and get people reinterested in 2D games. And now it is a lot of excitement going towards Wonder on the Switch. And I mean, this is the first true 2D Mario game to come to Switch in terms of originality, if we do not want to count the remaster or port of New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe.
So let's go back to Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island for a minute. Why do you think it only sold, a lot less than Super Mario World? Do you think it had to do with indeed that it was at the tail end of the SNES? Because it did release in 1995, and the Nintendo 64 came out like a year later in 96. So I don't think people were not buying games waiting for new hardware, you think? Or do you believe maybe they were? Because I know the N64 was delayed, but I guess where do you think Yoshi's Island fits into all this as far as why it didn't perform as good?
It may have come down to the branding Yoshi's Island, where it did have that idea, oh, it's a Yoshi game, despite having the title Super Mario Brothers World 2. Because if you ask an individual about that game, the response is never Super Mario World 2. It's always Yoshi's Island. So I think it was a bit of a branding error there. And I also think the idea of Baby Mario may have turned off some people, because you weren't playing directly as Mario. You were playing as Yoshi, and Baby Mario was more of a passive character that, while you did gain control of in select sections, it was enough of a difference from what people had expected from a mainline Mario game that maybe the public reaction when it came time to actually purchasing the game led to lower sales than you would have anticipated for a sequel to, you know, Super Mario World, one of the best Super NES games. You would have thought anticipation and hype would have been, you know, sky's the limit. And that simply wasn't the case here. Something didn't translate over. And maybe timing was a factor there, but I think it may have more so just been the branding and the main character being Yoshi versus Mario.
Yeah. I think that's all very good points, I would say. I mean, and I think that's what I really, really loved about that era in gaming as well, because Nintendo could have just given us a, you know, Super Mario World 2, just a true sequel, if you will. But I love the fact that they decided to take, you know, a risk, and they took more, I feel like they took more risks back then on the direction of different games and different franchises. So I personally, I love Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island. I think it's one of my favorite games of all time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we just recently did a Game and Talk episode where I had a debate with RGT85 and Josie Wo about the best 2D Mario game in our opinion. And yes, she came in with Mario Brothers 3, an elite game. RGT came in with Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins, a fine game. And mine was Yoshi's Island. And I was rebuffed by them saying it's not a Mario game, it's not that good and such. And right now we did leave it up to the community to vote. And people are siding with Sean and Josie, with individuals telling me that it is a Yoshi game and not a Mario game. So if you're listening and you believe Yoshi's Island is the superior 2D Mario game, go over to Game and Talk on YouTube, leave a comment in support of me, and let our victory stand together.
Just for the record, my favorite is Super Mario World. But like I said, that's when I really started getting into video games, when the SNES launched.
I mean, Super Mario World is a fantastic game. That would have been my choice. I thought one of them were going to pick it. And then when they didn't, I didn't want to pivot from my already, you know, predetermined answer. So I stuck with it. Yoshi's Island, Elite Tier, S Tier, whatever you want to classify it as. Now I want to go into the reviews and reception of some of these past 2D Mario games, so we can discuss the future potential of Mario Wonder. And due to the age of some of these games, it was very difficult to get a Metacritic rating of them, so we had to rely on game rankings.
Right.
So while they may not be 100% accurate of what the games had reviewed at the time, they give us a nice baseline to use in terms of this discussion when it comes time for us to give Mario Wonder expectation, and whether or not we think Mario Wonder could potentially be the highest rated 2D Mario game. So do bear with us there. So the original Mario game, I really couldn't find a ranking for it. We know it is iconic. It has a legacy of being an unbelievable game. But for the sake of this discussion, we don't have a numeric value to place at its baseline.
Yeah. You'd have to do some serious digging. I mean, I think you'd have to just compile a list of all the magazines from 1985, and hopefully you can come up with some type of aggregate score. But yeah, I mean, let's just, for argument's sake, it's somewhere in the 90s, I would say, right? I mean, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we've played the game, so we could come up with a score right now on the fly. Yeah, let's say a 90 for a baseline.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Super Mario Bros. 2 came in at an 81% on game rankings. And again, considering this isn't a true Mario game in the traditional sense, I think that's fair. Super Mario Bros. 3 came in at a 98% on game rankings. Super Mario World comes in at 94%. Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island at 96%.
I can see that. I mean, again, whether you think it's a Mario game or not is kind of irrelevant. I mean, technically, Yoshi's Island was an amazing game, if you remember. It had the Super FX chip, and it did all sorts of interesting things in it, coupled with the really cool new mechanics in the game and just the colorful aesthetic. I mean, and the sound, you know, the music was some of the best. I can definitely see why I got a 96.
That had New Super Mario Brothers Wii come in at an 87 on Metacritic.
Okay.
That's about New right. Super Mario Brothers U came in at an 84 on Metacritic. And then for handheld 2D Mario games, we had Super Mario Land came in at a 77.94% on game rankings. Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins, came in at an 80% on game rankings. And then New Super Mario Bros. 1 on the DS came in at an 89 on Metacritic. Mm-hmm. And New Super Mario Bros. 2 on the 3DS came in at a 78 on Metacritic.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with most of those scores, to be honest. The handheld ones I would rank higher personally. But I also understood back in those days, I think Game Boy was a lot of, you know, a lot of magazine articles and reviews I used to read back in the days would score Game Boy games a little lower for whatever reason, maybe because they felt like these weren't real games in the sense that they were, they were just small portable games. But I other than that, I agree with most of those scores. I think The Metacritic scores in particular sound about right to me.
Yeah, we see a wide range of scores here. And again, using game rankings as a baseline, with the highest being 98% from Mario Brothers 3, mm-hmm. and the lowest being Super Mario Land 1 at a 77.94, which we can round up to a 78%. Yep. And that would come in as a same general score as New Super Mario Brothers 2. You can see that the 2D Mario games are generally of quality. You can go as low as good,
yep,
as high as excellent, depending on the ranking that we want to use. But yes, like you, when I look at these percentages and scores, I'm in general agreement with what we are seeing here. And now when it comes to Mario Wonder, we have to evaluate it and say, we've had the previews came out this week, very, very glowing. There's the demo at Target, GameStop, and other retailers where people are coming back with high, high praise for a very short demo. Mm-hmm. And I want to go to you on this to open. Metacritic prediction for Mario Wonder. Do you think it will be the highest ranked 2D Mario game in history?
Well, if the highest ranked is a 98, we're going to say Super Mario Brothers 3, then no, I don't think it will. Will it be the highest Metacritic Mario game? Yes. Yes, it will. I mean, we're looking at an 89 as the highest one right now, which is New Super Mario Brothers 1, right? So mm-hmm. I think it will get into the 90s, Nate. And the question really is, how high will it get into the 90s? I haven't actually played the demo. I didn't get out to a Target and try it. I have heard nothing but praise for the game. To be honest, I've kind of kept away from some of the marketing around it because I just don't want to be spoiled on anything. I just want to pick up the game and enjoy it and play it for what it is. But based on the things I've seen and heard, it's definitely going to get into the 90s. I'm probably going to say it's going to hit a 92 for me. So it will definitely okay. be the highest Metacritic Mario game. And, you know, it's not going to, you know, elevate to the heights of Mario Brothers 3 and Mario World and Yoshi's Island, but it's going to get into the 90s and it's definitely going to take its place as the, you know, the best 2D Mario game, you know, for a long, long time. What do you think?
I think it will review in the 90s. And if I use those game ranking percentages as that baseline figure, I think it might stand toe-to-toe, shoulder-to-shoulder with Super Mario World. I could see this game coming in close to a 94 on Metacritic. I think the lowest I'm willing to entertain is a 92. Mm-hmm. But I think the possibility of something between from a 92 to a 95 does exist for the game. I wouldn't be shocked to see reviews go that high. From everything that we've seen, everything that we've heard about this game, it feels as though this is the evolution that we have been waiting for a 2D Mario game since the original New Super Mario Brothers on the Wii or even the DS. While, yes, we had sequels to those that did offer some innovative gameplay designs and even stage design, New Super Mario Brothers U had fantastic stage design. It was just that the game felt very sterile,
yeah,
and didn't feel like a visual leap, or even from that musical perspective, it wasn't that generational leap that everyone was anticipating. Wonder feels as though it is that true next step for 2D Mario games. Going back to, as we mentioned at the start of the episode, when you look at that leap from the first Mario Brothers game to Mario Brothers 3, and then 3 to World, and even World to Yoshi's Island, mm-hmm. there was a huge leap between all those games. And that is what feels has happened here with Wonder. There's yeah. been a significant leap from New Super Mario Brothers U to Wonder, as well there should be. It's been 12 years since that game released. And this feels as though this is the new direction for 2D Mario games moving forward.
You're quite right. I mean, visually and some of the new systems that they've built in this game do look a level above what we've seen before. There's definitely a lot of interest and excitement about this. Look, you're right. It could easily hit 90 for it, and maybe even kind of go a little past that. I think, I don't know, like we did this with Starfield not too long ago, and yes, that's a completely different animal compared to something like this. But I just feel like there's always going to be some parts of the media, some outlets that are more critical about modern games than they used to be. So I think getting to that, you know, 94 and above is not something that happens very often, although Nintendo has managed to do it a couple of times this year already with Metroid Prime 1 Remastered and Tears of the Kingdom. Of course, they could get there with this, but I think it's probably going to settle just a little bit lower, just a little bit lower. But either way, I think it's going to be one of the best games of the generation.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, you do have it coming in as the highest Metacritic ranked 2D Mario game.
Yes. Yep.
It's just a question of will it hit the highs of Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island, or Mario Brothers 3, in your opinion?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, those are high goals. Those are high targets to hit. They are the upper echelon of what we stand for, just 2D platformers as a whole, not just the 2D Mario, you know, not just for 2D Mario games. That is what you compare any 2D platformer to, be it a Rayman game, Mario game, Donkey Kong game, what have you. Mm-hmm. They created essentially the genre. They perfected it in many ways. They are what other 2D games aspire to be. And the fact that Mario Wonder can even come into that conversation is nothing short of amazing. It's not setting high expectation on Wonder either. It realistically has a chance.
I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you a question. Do you think Mario Wonder will be in the Game of the Year conversation at the Game Awards? If you're saying it's going to hit a 94 potentially, will it get a, uh-huh. And look, we've seen some games that score high that don't get in, but do you think Mario Wonder will get in to the Game of the Year conversation?
Conversation, yes. For the general Game of the Year, it will enter the conversation. Whether it gets the nomination or not, I can't say at this point. Mm-hmm. I think it will also be in the Switch Game of the Year conversation. And ultimately, that one really comes down to Zelda versus Mario.
The reason why I ask is I'm not trying to, it's not a trick question or anything, but if we're saying that Mario Wonder has the potential to be one of the very, very best Mario games of all time, then why wouldn't it be in, you know, the people's like top 100 lists of all time video games, you know, with right mm-hmm. up there with Mario World and Mario mm-hmm. Brothers 3, for example. Like, if we are truly saying it's a 94, 95, then it should also have its place in the list of best video games of all time. Would that be fair to say?
You see, when you look back at a best of list, I know a lot of outlets like to do it, you know, yearly or semi-frequently. Mm-hmm. I think a best of list is something you have to look back at a few years later. It can't be made in the moment. Because when I see the list and they say Breath of the Wild is the greatest game of all time, to me that just feels as though it has a little bit of recency bias to it. Mm-hmm. And that's not saying Breath of the Wild isn't a fantastic game. But if you were to revisit that list in 10 or 15 years, would you still consider Breath of the Wild to be one of the greatest games of all time? And when we look at what we consider best of all time, and you can look at the list and they have NES, Super NES, N64 games on it, it's because of the impact those games had on the industry and continue to have. That's why Ocarina of Time comes up so frequently. The Z trigger system revolutionized the entire 3D action adventure genre. And that's why that game is so iconic and so revered. So when it comes time for Mario Wonder, it could be easily, or potentially be the best 2D Mario game.
Yep.
But that does that necessarily give it default admission to the best games of all time? Because you can't take away from what Mario Brothers 3 or Super Mario World had contributed to the industry, because in a way you could say, well, Mario Wonder stands as high as it does.
That's what I'm saying.
Because it's standing on the shoulders of what came before
it. I'm not saying it should take its place. What I'm saying is, will it stand side by side with those games when it's all said and done, when the dust has settled?
Potentially, yes, but I think that's something we'd have to revisit in, 3 to 5 years.
Right.
Like, we can't make that declaration in 2023 or even in 2024. The only declaration we could make is this was a fantastic 2D Mario game that gets us excited for this genre and that type of game. But where its placement is in the overall, overarching gaming history, we have to revisit in a number of years. But yeah, even for Game of the Year, we do always encounter that unique situation where sometimes the highest rated game doesn't get a Game of the Year nod. Sure. And usually it's just due to impact and influence that a game had, because you can be of utmost quality.
Yeah.
But if you didn't leave a lasting impression, you typically don't make it into that Game of the Year finalist round.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I feel like all of us are going to pick up Mario Wonder next week. We're going to beat it in a weekend. And then we're going to be like, man, that was incredible. That was a really, really good time. I really loved that game. And then we kind of moved on. You know what I mean? Like, I am curious to know the length of Mario Wonder. I mean, obviously a Mario game is going to have a lot of replayability. There's going to be a lot of things you can do after the fact. But I am curious to see how quickly people kind of tear through the game, because I'm not sure how long it's going to be. And maybe that's something that may, be take points off the overall score. We'll have to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing when it comes time to have that Game of the Year conversation. And if Mario Wonder can get the nod, because it is up against some pretty stiff competition this year, just even on Nintendo's own side with Tears of the Kingdom. So whether it's there or not, it doesn't take away from its quality or anything like that. But there's still a few major releases to come this year before we really enter that Game of the Year conversation period. But in terms of, the review scores, expectations, we're both in agreement. It will be the highest rated Metacritic error 2D Mario game. Yeah.
And we're in agreement that's going to get more than a 90.
Mm-hmm. It's just a question of
how much
will it hit the highs of Mario Bros. 3, Mario World, and Yoshi's Island. It could brush shoulders with them, might come just short, but definitely a lot of anticipation for this game and, a lot of excitement around it. So it is positioning itself quite strongly in the lead up to release. Now, I want to talk about sales and the legacy sales of some of these 2D Mario games, as you kind of brought up a little earlier with Yoshi's Island. But when you go all the way back to Super Mario Bros. 1 on the NES, it may surprise you to learn that sold 40 million copies.
That is insane, Nate. That puts it up there with some of the, the best-selling games of all time, right? That's an absolutely astronomical number that even I'm doing a double take looking at saying, wow, did it sell that much back then? Because, back then, video games weren't the same as video games now where everyone has a Switch. I mean, a lot of people had Nintendos. A lot of kids had Nintendos back then. But I don't know, that is a hell of a lot of units sold. And that's not a pack-in game was it a pack-in game? I have to go back.
I believe it was in North America at a time.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. So I guess I guess that definitely helped its trajectory as well. But either way, 40 mil is ridiculous.
Now, Super Mario Brothers 2 followed that up with 7.4 million.
Mm-hmm. That's bad.
Super Mario Brothers 3 came in at 18 million. And these are all just the NES releases. It doesn't include any re-release, be it on the Game Boy Advance, Virtual Console, Super Mario Bros. All-Star. These are just the base versions. So the NES definitely had a nice proliferation of Mario sales. And again, all of these were within that early window to the mid window of that system's life cycle. Nothing came too late.
Yeah.
Then we had Super Mario World on the Super NES. That sold 20.16 million.
Yeah, that's, again, that is an insane amount. I remember when I got my SNES, I didn't get it on at launch day, but I got it pretty early. And there were two games that you could purchase, Mario World and F-Zero, and that was all you had. So I could see why a lot of people ended up picking up Mario World. It's incredible.
Then you had New Super Mario Bros. Wii come in at 30.32 million.
Jeez, that's a lot more than I remember as well.
They had New Super Mario Bros. U on the Wii U came in at 5.8 million, while the Switch version comes in at 16.2 million, rounded up 300,000 units there. And those sales are continuing. In just a couple of weeks, we will get updated figures on the Switch version. So that could be close to 17 million in just a few weeks, but very successful. Then in terms of handheld 2D Marios, we had Super Mario Land 1 sold 18.14 million. Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins, came in at 11.18 million. And then New Super Mario Bros. 1 on the DS sold 30.8 million units. Wow. And New Super Mario Bros. 2 comes in at 13.4 million.
Those numbers, again, are a lot higher than I had remembered. I mean, I know the Wii was obviously an absolute smash hit, but 30 million, man, that's some serious, serious sales numbers there, Nate. I think the one I still can't get over is Mario Bros. 1, because there was only like 60 NES units that were ever sold, and to sell 40 million Super Mario Bros. 1, whether that was from pack-in titles or not, either way, that is just ridiculous. But yeah, obviously Mario was a hit for Nintendo, and man, a lot of units were sold. What's the one that surprises you the most out of all those?
Surprisingly, I think my biggest shock is Super Mario World at 20 million.
Too little or too high?
It's higher than I would have expected.
I think it's about right for me. I mean, I know that the SNES didn't sell as much as the NES, but Super Mario World at 20 million, that feels about right to me.
Yeah, I was surprised by that figure, but I mean, yeah, given the, you know, the legacy of the game, the quality of the game, maybe it shouldn't surprise me that much. Mm-hmm. The Wii and the DS stuff didn't surprise, only because I do recall them being massive successes when they did come out on that hardware. As I was looking at these numbers, what really stood out to me is the launch Mario games all sold exceptionally well, because you did have the benefit of being a launch title.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen how that goes generation to generation. If you're a launch game and you're of quality, you're typically evergreen for that entire console generation. We see it right now with Breath of the Wild. So, you know, Mario Bros. 1 selling that type of figure, Super Mario World, you know, not too surprising. Even New Super Mario Bros. U on the Wii U, despite having come in at 5.8 million units, you know, very low figure, it's still in the area of a roughly 50% attach ratio for the Wii U user base, because as we know, the Wii U was a massive underperformer.
Yeah. I mean, just astronomical numbers here for me all around. I had to do a double take on some of these, because I don't remember them ever selling this much. But I mean, Mario is a hit, and you're right. You know, Nintendo systems usually have a Mario game at launch. It's kind of the thing, right? And they did that obviously for the first, you know, three systems: NES, Super NES, and N64.
Yeah, then we had Luigi's Mansion as a GameCube launch game.
Then they gave us that terrible Mario Sunshine game, and it all just kind of went downhill from there. But, I mean, yeah, there's definitely something to be said about, you know, selling new hardware with a Mario game on day one, because you're right, you're just going to get that evergreen attach rate for the entire generation. But, yeah, I mean, all of them are just big sellers.
So now when you look at the sales of each Mario game on a console generation, the first entry is always the best seller.
Mm-hmm.
Any sequel that may have followed typically saw a dip in every case. And even if we wanted to, you know, omit Super Mario Brothers 2, Mario Bros. 3 still came in at 18 million, which if you want to factor in that Mario 1 did have a bundle, it coming in at 18 million is quite a performance.
Oh, yeah.
But then you look at Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo coming in at 20 million, and Yoshi's Island, as you had brought up earlier, it sold 4.1 million copies. So, you know, we discussed why that potentially happened there.
Yep.
And then Nintendo kind of went to that one 2D Mario game a generation once they reintroduced it. So we got New Super Mario Brothers, Wii, and then we didn't get another one on a home console until the Wii U version. And yes, the Wii U version is a tough comparison here because the system had underperformed so, you know, abhorrently. And if you want to look at the handheld line a little closer, with Super Mario Land 1 on the Game Boy at 18 million, and then its sequel with 6 golden coins coming in at 11 million, a pretty steep drop off, but still an admirable number.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the New Super Mario line on the DS and the 3DS when you had 30 million, and then you had 13 million. Now, with New Super Mario Bros. 2, at the time of that release, there was definitely saturation when it was coming to Mario games.
Yep.
They released 2 in close proximity to New Super Mario Bros. U, and there was a lot of conversation at the time of whether or not that was a proper decision. And did they eat into each other's sales? Is that one of the reasons New Super Mario Bros. U didn't have that much anticipation and hype around it, because you had just played New Super Mario Bros. 2? And there's no clear answer as to what the effect truly was. But there was always a steep drop-off. Now when we come to Mario Wonder on the Switch, even though New Super Mario Bros. U has been brought to the platform, Wonder being the first true installment, where do you think, or how do you think Wonder's sales are going to trend? Will it trend lower like we've seen with all the other sequels on prior generations, or is it going to be the exception here and outperform New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, which right now, again, it's over 16 million on the Switch?
I think it will outperform New Super Mario Bros. Deluxe. I think it'll definitely sell more than 16 million. I think the way this is going to go is obviously it's going to sell very, very strong between now and the holidays. It's obviously the reason why it's coming out next week, to get people excited for the holidays, want to make sure that everyone has a copy of the game in their Christmas stocking or holiday stocking. And I think that it's going to continue to sell evergreen, just like most Mario games do, even though we are at the end of the Nintendo Switch. There's still obviously a little bit to go. We're not done. But I think it makes it very interesting to see what the overall sales would be, given that there is probably an announcement for new hardware next year, and hopefully we'll know more about what that's going to be. But that aside, I do think that Mario Wonder will outsell New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe on the Switch. And as far as how much, what that amount would be, well, that's the million-dollar question. I think that it'll probably do something in the lines of Super Mario World, around that 20 million mark. But I think the difficult part in really trying to predict the sales of this game, Nate, is that we just don't really know what Nintendo is planning for next generation at this time and what their move is going to be. Now, knowing Nintendo, they will carefully, traverse the waters to make sure that they don't, cannibalize or mess up anything that's going on with the Switch. But you also have to know that they are planning something at some point next year. So what does that mean for a game like Super Mario Wonder, which is at the tail end or in the twilight of the Switch's generation? Will it, continue to sell evergreen, or will it eventually just kind of fall off a cliff? I don't really know the answer. So I'm going to say, I'm going to just take a stab and say, I think it's going to sell around 20 to 22 million. That's my number. It'll probably do a little more than Super Mario World, but if we're looking for like that 30 million number, I don't think we're going to get that.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I mean, someone could clip this and play it back to me in a year from now when it sells 40 million units. I don't know, but I think that's what I'm going to stick with on this one. I think if Super Mario Wonder launched with the Switch, then yes, I think, there is a chance it could hit that, 30, 35, maybe 40 million number. But as it stands, we're at the tail end here. So I'm going to say between 20 to 22 million.
I'm going to come in with a higher number. I think Super Mario Wonder is going to have sales that rival new Super Mario Brothers Wii, and okay, it's going to eclipse 30 million.
So how much time do you give for that 30 million?
Until the Switch generation comes to a conclusion.
Right.
So, Nintendo's not going to sunset the Switch completely, probably until the...
So you think Nintendo will probably continue to market the Switch and Mario Wonder as some type of holiday bundle or something like that, mm-hmm. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, going into 2024, I think the Switch will remain active even with a successor on the market going into 2025, if not that first half of 2026. So you have 3 years of potential sales for this game just on the Switch. Mm-hmm. I think it eclipses 30 million.
It could very easily do that. Do you think it'll hit Super Mario Brothers 1 eventually?
40 million, I think, at this point is a little too high. Now, if we were to include, a re-release or anything like that, if Nintendo were to patch it or enhance it for a Switch successor, then I would say the 40 million figure is a target well within range. Mm-hmm. But if we're just going based on the Switch version alone, I think that's just a little too high. So my ceiling is 33 million.
Okay. I'm gonna stick to my guns here. I'm gonna say between 20 to 22 million.
I want to say, what would you say your first week expectations are?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Given the fact that we don't really know much about first week sales on any of these previous games, I'm gonna jump in and say anywhere between, I think low end, I'll say 6 million, and high end, about 8 million. So I'm going to say between 6 to 8 first week.
Yeah, first week for me is kind of a tough thing to predict at this moment, because we know, when it's a Pokemon game, if it's a Zelda game, we generally have an idea of what those games can perform. With a Mario game, we really don't have any clear past indicators that we can use as a barometer to gauge here. But given it is a 2D Mario game coming out in October, leading into the holiday season,
it's going to start strong.
It's going to start exceptionally strong. I think 9 million in the first week.
Okay. Yeah, could easily do 10 million, Nate, for all we know. But I think it'll just be a little lower than that. So I'm going to stick to the between 6 to 8, probably closer to 8.
See, I would follow up with first month, but considering it is launching at the end of October, we won't get a real strong answer in terms of what its first month would be, because it's likely that Nintendo's investment briefing coming up in the opening weeks of November, we will get the initial sales of Mario Wonder there. So we would have to wait for an NPD report in December for November to get a first full month's worth of sales. And that is dependent on Nintendo putting out a press release. So I don't know if we could really give a prediction on that, because we may not get any numerical data to give us information regarding the sales at that point.
Yeah, I think you're right. But it will be it'll be a monster. And I think it's going to be interesting, because I kind of bucket this with, you know, Tears of the Kingdom as well, a game that obviously has been sold very, very well. But I am very curious to see what the tail looks like going into a new generation, whether it's mostly kind of undisturbed and the tail just continues to wag, or, you know, things kind of drop off, not sharply, but a little more aggressively, I would say, once we hear about new hardware. So I think 2024 is going to be an interesting year for, you know, checking the sales numbers of Mario Wonder.
See, I think the thing that really differentiates Mario Wonder from Tears of the Kingdom is that the individuals who are buying a 2D Mario game is far more casual than what the Zelda audience typically sees. And with the Mario movie still in the zeitgeist of popular culture, I don't think individuals who are looking for a Switch successor are really that concerned about not being able to play Mario Wonder in the best way possible. They're going to play it on this, and then all that casual market who typically enjoys 2D Mario games, they're going to pick it up and they're going to play. Whereas a Zelda game, you kind of want to see it be a visual spectacle.
Right, right.
A 2D Mario game, you're not really looking for that. You still want it to be pleasing to the eye. You still want quality performance, but it's mostly that artistic direction. You want that dynamic background. It's the music. It's the characters. It's the overall package that just brings glee and joy.
Yep.
And I think that's where the tale for Super Mario Wonder almost doesn't even, it doesn't have an end. It can go as long as Nintendo needs it. Whereas Tears of the Kingdom, you are going to have the individuals who have played it or are still, you know, prospective buyers who can look at it and say, man, I wish this game looked or ran a little bit better.
Right.
And if there's new hardware on the horizon, maybe I'll wait and hope that it gets a re-release or a patch or something to smooth those things out. With Mario Wonder, I don't think that concern or expectation exists.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you bring compelling arguments to the table, no doubt. But yeah, we'll just have to see how this goes. I think it's going to be a smash hit, no matter which way you slice it. I think the game is going to review very well. It's going to sell very well, and just, you know, Nintendo, they every time they bring out a new Mario game, it's usually gold.
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being one of the top 10 bestsellers of 2023, and I think it ends up being in the top 10 best-reviewed games of 2023. So all that talk of the C team and it not being a mega seller from a few months ago was just, I don't even want to call it concern trolling, it was just ignorance. But with that, we can go to some of the Streamlab questions from this week, and our first comes from Bizard Uno, who donated $3.18 and writes, "Hi, Nate, and hopefully MVG.
I'm here.
Love the show. How likely is it that we see titles such as Yakuza 7, Like a Dragon, and Metaphor ReFantazio land on the Switch's successor? I believe they'd be quite popular considering that RPGs sell very well on Nintendo platforms." That is, you know, a decision that I'm sure Atlas and Sega will have very thorough and deep discussions over. And if they feel that the platform is a good fit for those style of games, they will bring it over. I know there is one statement out there from, I believe it was the Yakuza producer, who just didn't think Yakuza was a good fit for the Switch. But, you know, perception and such can change over time. And if the Switch 2 feels as though it would be a good home for that specific IP, I think a decision could be made there to bring it over. As for metaphor, I mean, I think Atlas is open to bring any of their games to a Nintendo platform at this point, as we've had a lot of Persona games introduced this generation. So if the Switch 2 has strong sales, it's doing well in the regions that they are looking to penetrate, I think a late port for Metaphor is certainly in the cards. Then had a $1 donation from Jackie G. Hello, gentlemen. For a short while now, I've been wondering just how long Microsoft's first-party titles have left at retail. What do you think will be Xbox's first full-priced first-party title that will skip a physical release? Hellblade? Avowed? Fable?
Ooh. It's hard to really say because we don't know the release dates of any of those games. I think Hellblade is probably going to be physical because it's we like to think it's not too far away now. I'm going to just roll the dice and say Fable. How about that? Fable will be the first all-digital Xbox game.
I feel
not
like...
Not even knowing when it's coming out.
I feel like Microsoft's major first-party titles will all have a physical presence if permitted. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be something that they will completely forego this generation. As we've seen, a lot of their smaller titles like Pentiment and Hi-Fi Rush, that will continue throughout this generation. But I think all the major first-party titles in that caliber will get physical presence. I don't see them really pulling that entirely this gen. Then had a $10 donation from Ride the Walrus. Forget about the all-digital future debate. The silliness of shipping pieces of plastic around the world as a substitute for a 30-minute download should be enough to put it to bed. What do you two think of an all-services-based future?
I hate it. I mean, I there's nothing about that that appeals to me at all. I want ownership. I don't want a publisher or a hardware maker to parade games around and then take them away when they feel like it's not, you know, time to show those games anymore. I don't like that personally, but I also acknowledge, I think that's the way things are going. You know, it's going to take probably another 10 years until we are completely all digital, I would say, but you know, I personally am not a fan. What do you think, Nate?
I mean, I do recognize that it is an inevitability for the industry. I do think there has to be some change to just the way the media is consumed. If we are to go all digital, I would like some means of being able to, you know, sell my digital license if I no longer want the game, or maybe more forgiving refund policies.
Yeah,
on these services,
or the ability to sell secondhand, all that stuff. None of that has been figured out.
I mean, the industry is in a very unique position that I don't think the industry has ever found itself in, because we are on the precipice of a major change, and digital is that change. And you know, companies definitely want us to go in that direction. They want to move away from physical media as soon as they can. But there is going to be some resistance, and whether that's just a negligible percentage of people who show resistance or if it is a bigger percentage, you know, remains to be seen. It's all about how one implements an all-digital future. Is it strictly a service-based industry at that point, like Game Pass, or are we looking for something that could, you know, potentially be a lot worse? How is it going to trickle down to developers and so many of the creators in the industry? Does the consumer benefit, or are we going to be introduced to a service that at launch feels as though it's fair and it's well priced to begin to strip away content and raise prices to astronomical highs? There's a lot of things that the consumer kind of forfeits certain options if you go that route. So while it is inevitable, it is the direction the industry is moving in, I don't think the blueprint is finalized yet in how these companies can approach it. I think, as MVG said, we're probably still 10 years away from that all digital future.
Yeah.
Even though we are gradually walking into that digital pool. Then had a $1 donation from Ares Play. Disregarding the date of release, how long Nintendo gonna support current Switch when the successor release? Are we gonna see another 2 years of remakes and smaller projects like with the 3DS? The Switch sold too many to just leave it behind quickly.
I don't think there's a set amount of years. You mentioned the 2 years. I think it's really, they're just gonna take a look at the numbers and then make a decision kind of as it continues through. But a minimum of 2 years, I would say, is a good number.
Yeah, I'd say 2 years is a good number. Some of the decisions are going to come down to just supply, the supply line itself. How long does Nintendo want to continue to pay for those production lines, or if they want to prioritize them for a Switch successor? As for, you know, games and projects that would continue to come to the Switch, it all comes down to whether or not there's a cross-generation period, backwards compatibility, a lot of other variables you have to consider. Because if there is backwards compatibility, then yeah, it could easily go beyond that 2 years. If there's no backwards compatibility, mm-hmm. whatever games come to the Switch between the introduction of a successor and the end of life for Switch would be titles that are just actively in the pipeline that Nintendo had positioned as Switch games. So there's a lot of factors one has to consider here, but I think 2 years is a generally a good line of thought here.
Yep.
Then had a $5 donation from Anonymous. It's been said a million times, but it bears repeating. Why is Sony neglecting Bloodborne? The market for Soulsborne games is strong. Bluepoint is one of the best in the industry. Sony wants to break into PC market and they own the rights to the IP.
I don't really know the answer. You have to ask Lance McDonald. He's got some interesting thoughts about something like that. I don't know. It's very hard to say. You know, is it a case of the source code is not available anymore? Possibly. Is it a case of Sony doesn't feel like it's really worth their time and investment, even though we all think that it is? You know, Jim Ryan obviously is a numbers man. And, you know, maybe with him leaving and someone coming in, maybe that there will be opportunities that happen like this. But it just doesn't really fit Sony's DNA right now, you know, with their kind of mission statement and what they're trying to do. Unfortunately, I want to see something happening with Bloodborne personally. As you know, I'm a big fan of that game. But I don't know. It just, for me, it just doesn't seem to align with Sony's current, you know, roadmap.
Yeah, there's definitely something curious about that Bloodborne situation. I do wonder that despite Sony owning the IP, I wonder if it's kind of a case of they don't know who to give Bloodborne to remake it or remaster it. As you mentioned, you know, Bluepoint, mm-hmm. they would be a good, you know, house for such a project. And I kind of wonder if FromSoft has, even if it's just a blessing,
yeah,
hasn't given Sony the blessing to do anything with it. And out of respect for the original creator, that right. could be a factor. I mean, that's pure speculation, because just the long period of silence when it comes to Bloodborne is definitely something that people are taking notice of. It was one of their biggest releases on the PlayStation 4. So why continue to ignore it? People have been begging for it for years, even if it's just a PC release. And we know Sony is going into PC, as mentioned in the question. So why not go with this easy win? There's something happening behind the scenes that no one has true insight on that is simply preventing Bloodborne from getting a re-release or a port or anything of the sort. So all we can do is hope.
Yep.
And maybe one day our prayers will be answered. And our final Streamlab question for the week comes from Garbear, who donated $3.43. Hello, Nate and MVG. Hope you're having a good day. Two questions. Have you heard anything about Halo single player's future? And also, have you heard anything about Transformers Reactivate from splash damage?
I haven't heard anything about Halo, nor ever heard anything about Transformers either. We've heard some stuff about Halo, you know, recently, but there's really nothing much to talk about at this time. They just released the Season 5 stuff, obviously, on the multiplayer side. I think that's the kind of the focus at the moment. But on the single player side, it's very, very difficult to kind of gauge what's going on there. We heard all sorts of weird rumors and things that maybe they were doing an engine swap and the game was scrapped and people were let go and just all sorts of stuff. So I couldn't really say what's happening with Halo single player at this time. But I think it's fair to say, Nate, and you tell me what you think, but Halo is not going to go away. I think that part is now very apparent, even though Halo Infinite didn't launch in a particularly great state. I think it's pretty good these days. I've heard good things about the new season and everything. I think it's a game that obviously Phil Spencer cares very much about, or a franchise he cares very much about. And I think there is a future for Halo single player. I just don't know what's next though.
Yeah. When I think it comes to Halo Infinite and single player, I don't think there's much of a future in terms of like brand new content coming to the game. As we've seen at 343, a lot of shakeups have happened. And I believe they had already come out, was it earlier this year or last year, where they said there was never a plan for campaign DLC or an expansion. So in terms of single player content, I think we got what we got. And if there is to be a new campaign, it would be unrelated to Halo Infinite.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, you know, the multiplayer keeps on blossoming. Great strides have been made there. A lot of players are returning to the game due to the changes. As for Transformers Reactivate, this is actually the first time I'm hearing of the game. So really don't have anything to share on that one. Mm-hmm. We'll have to look into that game a bit to see what it's all about. But that was the final Streamlabs question for the week. If you'd like to support the channel, we have a Streamlabs link in the description below. Donate any dollar amount, ask a question, we'll answer it at the end of the episode. Donate $100 or more, and we will dedicate the episode to you. And with that, I'd like to thank MVG for joining me as always.
Always a pleasure, Nate. Great to chat about Mario Wonder.
And let us know your thoughts in the comment section below of whether or not you think Super Mario Wonder will be the best-selling 2D Mario game or the highest-rated 2D Mario game. And until next time, continue to embrace the hate.